toe, bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double team.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back to the Drop Step Podcast. Home team Brandon Leak. We have College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, former high school basketball player of the year, South Carolina, Joe Hamilton. He's with us today. Houston and the B-Dog. Brandon Harper. How y'all doing today, gentlemen?
We're good. I want to give a shout-out to Book. Book is not here today for a second straight week. He's dealing with some family issues, so prayers and thoughts out to Book.
Shout out, Book.
Get well. Get it all well soon, Book. Come on home. A lot to get to here in this episode of the Drop Step Podcast. Shout-out to Shaq Fu Radio and the fine folks at Spotify helping us get this out. We'll talk a little Hawks basketball. They are in a little bit of a rut right now, coming back off of a West Coast road trip that didn't go the way they wanted. We'll get to that. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, one starting off, one coming back, is one going out. We'll get to that, and he returns. He came home, y'all, to the NBA. Carmelo Anthony, back in the National Basketball Association.
It's your boy, Joe.
My man.
Who could be against Melo? You could be mad or disappointed, but could you be against him?
The masses are.
After what he said now, we'll get to that. The Hawks coming back, and look, they're in, you don't want to say trouble, but they're in some mess. With the injury status, with the veterans that they haven't had out on the floor, and with the mismatch of lineups that Coach Lloyd Pierce has had to work with, they are just not on any solid ground, and now they come back off of a West Coast road trip. You had Vince Carter missing games due to personal reasons. Kevin Huerter gets hurt with a shoulder injury. He's out for a couple of weeks. Chandler Parsons still hasn't been on the court and hadn't been right. Now, as they come home, Jabari Parker is banged up, who's second in scoring for the Atlanta Hawks.
This thing is just unraveling piece by piece, you know, minute by minute. The West Coast road swing with exactly how I thought it was going to go. It went exactly how it was expected to go. You're going up against teams who are competing and contending not to get to the playoffs, but to win the trophy. And, I mean, it just is what it is. You go to L.A., you got back-to-back games with the Clippers and the Lakers. You lose to the Clippers by, what, 49? You lose to the Lakers by 21? Hey, you're a young team. They're a prepared team. These teams are a lot more talented, older, wiser than you are. They got bigger goals than you. And that's exactly how it was supposed to go. I'm not surprised.
I don't like it. I don't like what's coming out of your mouth, B-Dog, because I am surprised, not in the tune of losing those games out there.
But getting beat down?
49?
Yeah.
And 21, and even that 21 could have been 49.
I was hoping we didn't give up 300 points in two games.
Absolutely, and the reason why I say that, Harp, is because there's a way you go about things. It's what I'm looking for in the Atlanta Hawks now. I want to see you know, communicating on defense. I want to see you moving the ball around. Oh, by the way, the church's money, the basketball, why are you giving it away so freely? Some of those little things, and there's going to have to be increments. What happened to next man up? And to your point, no, not next man up to say beat LA, the Clippers or the Lakers or even the Greek freaking company tonight. Not beat them, but look like, hey, we've got a roster that we have potential going forward of what we can be. Because if you're not getting better in some little areas here and there and just chalking it up to expected to get blown out, not expected to get blown out.
I'm with you, Joe. Like, at this point, like, it's beyond me what is really going on. I know Coach Pierce is talking about balance and we're going to progress throughout the season and don't look for it all at once, but I still don't see 49 points being a deficit in the game. I don't care if it's against the Lakers or whoever. Like, I feel like we have better talent than that. Now, to your point, home team, there's a lot of injuries going on that have been taking place over the last few games that it's like, we don't have those pieces right now, and we're still a very, very young team to ask the young boys to just come in and take over. Like, Jabari Parker, to me, he's been the next coming of Paul Millsap for us. He's that guy who we know every night he's going to go get it. He's going to put up those numbers. We lose somebody like that, I don't expect anything more than what we're going to see right now.
Well, the execution of it, too, isn't where Coach Lloyd Pierce wants it to be. Hawks giving up about 115 points a game. A lot of that skewed by what happened at the end of the road trip against the Clippers and the Lakers, but those games count, too. And the other two things, you want to play at a high pace, you want to play a certain style, you have to execute. Hawks are next to last in turnovers, and they are dead last in three-point shooting. So if you're not going to make your three-point shots, you're not going to play defense and stop giving up 115 points, and you're going to turn the ball over, you're going to be exactly where you are with all of your veterans and your firepower out hurt.
But see, I'm not – and I get what you're saying, home team and Houston, but – well, Joe and Houston, shall I say. But those two – those two games versus the Clippers and the Lakers, you're going up against the two best defensive teams in the league, and you're going up against superstars who are going to do what they do on any given night, period, let alone against a team that doesn't have a whole lot of experience, that has a lot of rookies on the floor. So I don't know if some of those guys were starstruck. They just realized, hey, we on the same floor as LeBron James. Hey, we on the same floor as such and such. I don't know what it was, but I'm not surprised that they got beat the way that they did, because lack of experience. They ain't going up against them guys yet. You're on the road. We know how this team is on this. If this team is really going to excite you, most of their exciting moments are going to come at home. Most of these young teams love home cooking. The road is never good for young basketball teams. It never has been since the beginning of time. So I'm not surprised at what happened in L.A. Those teams that they went up against are projected to be in title contention. You are like the fly that's in the way, and they moved you.
You'll be in the building tonight, all right? Harp, you'll be in the building tonight, so, I mean, not literally, but what are you going for? I'm talking about what do you want as your basketball mind want to see out of the Hawks? Because if we're going to order all of a sudden tonight the same type of matchup.
Right, but
the
you're Bucks, at home tonight.
But the same type of matchup as far as experience. Those guys got bigger fish to fry. They're talking championship, overmatch, the best in a lot of areas, field goal percentage, block shots, defense, all those type things. So what are we going to grasp? What are we going to say, Hawks tonight? What's going to travel? What can we expect night in and night out is all I'm trying to put my hand on. I'm not saying I'm putting my hand on it, but there in basketball, there should be some givens, even though they're young.
The givens for the Hawks is supposed to be competitiveness.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah.
It's supposed to be a drive to want to get better, and no, we haven't seen that the past couple games, but all in all, throughout the season, they've been pretty competitive for the most part. So I'll chuck it up like this. L.A. Lakers and L.A. Clippers are your Duke and Kentuckys. And the Hawks right now just look like a D2 JUCO type of school trying to play in a big boys gym.
That's hurtful.
We're not there yet.
The tone. I'm sorry. Not the words, the tone.
Just the tone. Reality.
That's hurtful.
I'm sorry, but we're not there yet. We knew that, though, going into this season. We're not there yet. We don't even need to be looking at a trophy right now. We don't have all of our pieces.
It's almost as if you can't really start to assess this team until John Collins and Kevin Herter gets back. And injuries happen to everybody, and you have to get through those no matter where you are. But for this team that was starting year two of the rebuild, there's really no assessment you can honestly make with Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter being rookies and all of your guys who have been here before not in there. We can't make any assessment until the 23rd or until all these guys get back.
This season almost became a wash to me at this point. As soon as we got John Collins out for 25 games, that's just too much of a gap that we're not going to be able to see what this team can look like meshing together for us to miss. So now it's just, to me, it's like kind of let it go as it goes. We'll see where we end up. Hey, hope y'all enjoyed the lottery again.
And in a young team season, you're going to have those type of blowouts.
Right.
You're going to have a couple of them, and we've already seen a couple of them, because when you're going up against those caliber of teams who have those level of expectations, what do you think they're going to do every night? They're going to come out, they're going to see a lesser team. The team may be talented, but they're going to see a younger, lesser team. And if they're a good team, you don't take anybody for granted because this is still the NBA, and you go out there and you handle your business. Even when the Bulls came in here, the Bulls and the Hawks are kind of more on an even level playing field, very young team. They came into our building a couple of weeks and beat the brakes off of them. Why? Because of what Trae Young did to them last year. You can't really, even with a young team, you can't really determine, okay, this, you're going to keep this game close. You're going to keep this game close because you're going to have a couple of blowouts that you thought you were going to keep close too. But if,
And we're also going to beat teams every once in a while, like the Nuggets,
yeah,
and stuff that we're supposedly not supposed to beat.
So how do we explain that? That's kind of where I'm heading at. How are we going to explain that we can beat and hang with the Nuggets and that's not a blowout, and then going to talk about, well, you know, the Clippers and the Lakers and say that should be a blowout? And that, and I know where we were going, but that's what I'm saying is some things we want to see. Yeah, lost season, you saying, hard to assess this team going forward, the home team said, but that is not hard to assess guys individually. Right. Yeah, when you're talking about overall, and I know it's a team sport, yeah, you can throw that out the window. But to look at Cam Reddish, to look at Kevin Huerter and Damian Jones and some of these guys and say, wow, I see some individual growth. I see something we can hang our hat on to where those guys do come back. Yeah, we can get that. I can't tell you right now.
We're not seeing that. We're not seeing our identity. That right now.
I can't tell you the pot. Who, I'm not even going to low-hanging fruit, which is Cam Reddish. DeAndre Hunter
has come back down to earth.
I don't like that tone either, Joe. Well, I don't like it. Well, what you saying?
Maybe you can straighten my tone up because what has DeAndre Hunter shown you to say
about Cam?
This is who he is? Yeah, but Cam.
I know.
And what, again, fellas, I would like to ask you guys.
I know.
What are the skill sets? Isn't it a point in time where because those Huerter and John Collins is down, we should see some guys up their game, show us something with this opportunity. So those are the little things. And I totally agree about the blowouts. I'm not saying we should be in the games and, you know, keep it. I know that. But goodness, guys, we got to be trying to look at something.
Well, it was the post game, I think, after the Clipper game. Had a reporter talking to Cam Reddish about his development, and people are going to be talking to him about his development all season long. And he basically said what I had been saying for quite some time. He said, I just got to get out of my own head.
Oh, my.
Every week, every game, he says another thing.
I thought we were speculating.
Because he said it before, I just got to get the game to slow down.
Yeah.
He's going to keep on saying that same stuff. But we've been saying it since preseason. Like, bro, once it slows down and he get out of his own head, he's going to be all right. When do you actually stop saying it and it actually happens?
And I think that those are
– Well, he did guys. Put up one of them games on the road trip. Him and DeAndre, I think, had 13 points apiece.
Let's just say
it. But when that happened,
he needs
somebody
got
to score.
He needs the G League right now, and we can't
This is why in my opinion, this is why I disagree wholeheartedly with that, home team, because you go to the G League when you're not getting the opportunity with the big boys. He's getting opportunities. I mean, he's on the floor. His minutes are there. So it's not like you're going down to the G League to fit in a rotation because those the starting five or the top eight is so deep that you can't get minutes.
And it's the
he's
G
getting
League,
minutes.
And it's the G League going to help his confidence.
And that's the thing laughable. Because I say it again, that's not in the coaching realm.
You can't
fix that.
He's got to fix it.
Right.
You can't, the G League or Coach Pierce.
I thought that's what the G League
can't
was
fix
for.
That.
The G League is to help you kind of develop and get you ready for the big boy game. And since so far in, 13 games that we've played, he hasn't adjusted to the big boy game yet. So maybe it does take going down to AAA ball for a couple weeks and then come back up.
Good point.
Because that's what they do a lot of times. Yeah. It does help develop the confidence.
It does help
to slow the game back down for you a little bit. And then you come back up.
And he might could dominate some of those guys down there and see the ball go in the bucket.
See the ball go in the bucket and then you come back up refreshed. But, I mean, you a top 10 pick going out to the G League. That just sounds kind of asinine.
Yeah, I think we're putting too much on him.
What would that do to his confidence?
He's picked a 10. He should be this. He's not P.J. Washington. He's not Tyler Hero. I don't think those are the bigger things to worry about. What's bigger is to figure out what he's supposed to start working on and what he's supposed to be for the Atlanta Hawks. So worrying about what a top 10 pick should be doing, I'm past that. I need to get this young man started on the right trajectory in his NBA career for the Hawks, and that's all that matters to me.
Create an identity. Somehow we got to create his identity. But it's even the same thing with, like you said, with DeAndre Hunter. It's like, in the first, three, four games, like with that going. But now it seems like you've plateaued at this point and even regressed
a little
bit.
That's what I like to call a rookie. rookies go through that.
So then we just chuck the whole conversation up to just, yo, we got a rookie type of team.
No, what I'm saying
he's not right about plateaued.
That's Lord.
Not for career, but for right now, it's kind of like it just hit that that point to where now you have to do something different to create more gains, as you say, in the gym.
No, but what I'm saying, every rookie goes through their different highs and lows. They go through all different, because all rookies aren't the same because their games aren't the same. But to see him play well the first three games and then dip a little bit, then plateau, he's going to go through those things. He is a rookie. Like that, I think that's just part of being young and being part of adjusting to the new game.
Mixed in there, though, B-Dog, there has to be some splash plays.
No, I'm not knocking that.
Because up and down is Ja Morant, and I know Ja Morant was the second pick, or however if you want to go slots to slots, but you are seeing a lot of splash plays. Now, you've seen the seven turnovers and the bad games shooting-wise, but you know what you can hang your hat
on. Like you're seeing guys like Kobe White in Chicago.
Absolutely. You see, even Tyler Hero has had his day in the sun. So to speak, you can see it, and they are going to go through the rookie wall, but I want to see it.
I just think that those guys, and not making excuses, those guys are in a little different situation. Trae Young is the leader of the Hawks. He's in his second season, and while it looks like he is off to a good start, he's still not Zach LaVine. He's still not Jimmy Butler. So those other rookies are in situations and in environments that the Hawks aren't in. The Hawks were all the way down restarting this thing. Then they were going to start from there, and now they can't even see where the restart is gone because everybody of significance is out.
Right.
So hopefully that gets cleared up. What I want to get cleared up is what's going on with the leg of Kawhi Leonard.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out. So make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.
Started off.
He hurting.
He got a little flack, or not flack, but it became a topic of conversation. Load management so early in the season. Paul George was out due to shoulder surgery. He came back and has looked superb. But there is a question about Kawhi Leonard. Is there something really wrong with him? And does he need to miss significant action until he gets all the way right? Because he was dragging his leg in the last couple of games of the NBA Finals, and it doesn't look like things have gotten better.
I think now that they have Paul George back, I think they were okay with the load management that was going to take place when they got him. They understood it. Look, this is what he's going to have to do. It worked for him in Toronto. We have no concern that it'll work for him here. I think they're glad they got Paul George back, because now you at least have you got one going back to the bench, you got one coming off to where he can get his legs under him. He can test those shoulders out, make sure he's still healthy, and then he can continue to mesh and have some camaraderie with those guys that Kawhi has already built. But this is – I'm worried about this 3-4 years down the line. Because what if this is the beginning of something worse? Now, I don't know how long he's going to stay in L.A. He may decide after, what is it, a two-year deal, three-year deal?
2 years.
He may decide after the 2 years, hey, I may want to go somewhere else. And he has the right to do that. But whoever decides to look at him and want to sign him, they also have to take into consideration, how's the leg? How's the knee? You know, is this something that's going to be a long-term problem? Yeah, we know you got load management, but missing a back-to-back is different than missing four, maybe five games straight here and there. So I think you really got to start to take a look at this for a long term. Not necessarily this year, no, but down the line.
You got to look at it this year, too, because here's the thing. He's not going to get proper rest no matter what if he's going to continue to play throughout the season. You're not going to get
But he's missing.
Good. Doc Rivers doesn't seem like
he
can.
Yeah, he's missing games already.
No, but yeah, but see, that's the thing. You're missing – when you play, what, 2-3 games in a week, just because you miss one or two games, you still didn't even take off a full week. So what rest are you really getting, because you still got practice time and you still got
Yeah, but it depends on what he's doing in practice. Is he doing anything in practice?
You're still not resting, because you're talking about your trunks. You're talking about your limbs. To rest that, you cannot be on it. Unless he is sitting his behind down all day or laying down in a bed all week, he's not getting proper rest for his trunks.
And so, trying to get it back.
And that's the thing. Because, all right, so what they usually say, okay, you sprain your ankle, if they when in the Army, if they give you a profile or something that says you can't really work, they do a week of treatment and they do another week and a half of recovery on top of it. He's not getting that recovery time for anything. He's just slightly resting and taking pain pills, coming back out 3 days later to play another game. You just re-aggravated it again.
Which is why I said...
That's why I'm speaking to this season, because if you keep on this trek, come playoff time, he's still not going to be right, and now you're going to have to really need him, and he's not going to be able to do like how he did in the East last year and go through semi-competition until he gets to the finals.
Great point, Houston. And the reason why it's such a great point, B-Dog, is that it is the West, and you don't want to fall behind. And what about the chemistry?
Oh,
just him and I'm talking about him and Paul George.
Right.
Are you going to play your turn, my turn? Is that ball going to get stuck? Now, that's not the type of players they are, but, you know, how do you gel? What about Doc and getting the feel for those guys? What about the under 2 minutes or under 5 minute fourth quarter? Who's on the floor? All those things. Now, you have time. I understand that. But all those things come to the forefront. And I'm a little – what I would say, I'm a little concerned this early in the season. What happened in the offseason? Did you misdiagnose this thing?
Oh.
It's something that was lingering and you thought that rest was enough? Because this guy, he was on load management this season, not playing the back-to-back, hasn't played one yet, and now we got a leg that has to keep you out 3 games? This soon?
It's starting to grow.
It's almost
grow
like he played in the Olympics. It's almost like he went through it and he never had any time off, so that's a little concerning as well.
And like you said, with the standings in the West, he can't afford to miss all this time. Because even if you're going to say, all right, the Clippers and Lakers are 1-2 in the West, that means that there isn't a home field advantage when the finals come. But if you keep falling down in that rankings, in the standings, now you don't have home field advantage.
But see, I don't think they care about home field
advantage. Yeah,
you said that last week. They play defense. That's why they're okay with him sitting out. I don't care. As long as we're one of the top 8 teams in the West, we don't care where we are, because if we can get him healthy for the playoffs, we'll validate who we really are when it really matters.
I don't think you're giving him the adequate amount of rest to really validate it. It's going to be a grind. Just talking about those playoffs, it's going to be such a grind. He's going to be hurting throughout every series.
So what if you just need to sit him? What if Doc needs to shut him down and then just sit him out? The NBA is not going to like that. Fans aren't going to like that. But he shouldn't care what people like. He's got to try to manage a championship team. And if it's better for Kawhi Leonard to do exactly what the Toronto Raptors did, which was sit him for more than 20 games last year, why would that not be the right course of action if he's having the exact same issue that he was having in a championship season?
It's a can of worms, brother.
Why you say so?
Because he never sat back-to-back games in Milwaukee.
But 60 games is 60 games.
I'm sorry, in Toronto, and that was all about load management.
Okay.
This is not about load management. This is a man that's hurt. This is a man that's hurt, can't get back on the court at all. And these doctors, and that's what I'm saying, Kawhi Leonard's better watch out. Now you're hearing from two different doctors. You got your doctor that travels with you. He's saying one thing. What are the Clippers doctors saying? Can you come to a common agreement? We think you should play. You're not playing. Now I'm telling you, it's going down a road that you don't know. It ain't no switch.
That's what made him want to leave San Antonio. The team doctor saying one thing, his rep saying another, or the San Antonio Spurs not have, or his teammates saying a lot of stuff in the media that he didn't want out.
Can he get to 100?
He won't have that problem in L.A. because like home team said, Doc Rivers, he doesn't care that much about it. Right. I think he's going to make it work with whether he's on the floor or not. So I don't. But to answer the question, yes, he needs to take. I would say he needs to take a 10 straight games off. You need to take that type of time off to let it actually properly heal.
Otherwise, get to 100%?
Can he get to 100%?
That would be a big question.
Does he need surgery to get to 100%? That's my question.
Yep.
Everybody keeps trying all these back-to-backs, whatever, loads, man. Does he need to just get it corrected?
I think only time will tell.
I think he knows his body. I think we got to trust Kawhi. And he knows he can't play. It was big enough for him to leave San Antonio. It was big enough for Toronto to manage it the right way. So I think he knows his body better than anybody else. And I think what the doctors are advising him and what he knows with his body, we have to trust Kawhi Leonard. He came back. He's back, y'all. Melo. The number has changed. The LBs he might weigh has changed. He looked pretty slim to me. but he's back. The question is, what is he back to do? What are the expectations of Melo? Is he going to remain a starter? Will the injury situation in Portland keep him a starter? Or is he destined to be one of the tools and one of the hammers off of the bench? Which he said
when
he wouldn't mind doing.
When this team, because I think this team is hurting right now as well, as far as facing injuries, he's going to end up going back to the bench when they're fully healthy. But he's going to come off the bench, and they say, Melo, when you touch the ball, find your shot. When you touch the ball, shoot the ball. Get to the basket. They brought him in to score. That's the thing. Now, I know he had a block last night. He had what, 4 rebounds? He moved well.
He was also like 4 of 20 or something like that.
No, he was 4 of 14. He was 4 of 14.
Exaggeration.
Don't get moved down.
You're not gonna give.
We have seat belts that some of the astronauts use down at Georgia Tech, and we can strap you in, but don't get too loose now.
You're not gonna get much defense out of him. You may get some here and there, but it's not gonna be anything consistent. You'll get some rebounds here and there, but they brought Melo in to add more scoring to what they already had, especially coming off the bench.
What if that's not there?
What if what's not
on
there?
On a given night, he's off.
He can't be off too many times, Joe.
Well, again, can he add anything else to Portland? Because he cannot just be Vinny Microwave Johnson. He's not that anymore. Catch and shoot. And I know that's the past Carmelo Anthony, what you're talking about now. We don't know if he's that prolific scorer that he can come in and, you know, grab it and shoot.
Well, what do you think they brought him in to do?
First of all.
Why'd you laugh?
First of all, a body. And I hate to say that. That's why I laughed. It's a body. A fresh body, an experienced body because of their injuries. And I'm not disrespecting Carmelo, but that's a pretty distinguished body you're bringing in that could score. But he cannot forget about the little things. He cannot forget about 4 rebounds, try to get that to 6. Help defense, try to work on that and develop that. That one block, make sure you're hustling. He's going to have to not stand in the corner and wait for somebody to penetrate, dish, and spot up. Because that's not a guy, I don't have confidence in that, do you? This Carmelo, that he's still a prolific scorer?
I know the last thing that leaves a player as he gets older, if it's something that he's worked on throughout his career, is his shot. If he can shoot the basketball, if he knows his spots on the floor, and I think he does because he's been playing, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's been playing long enough, he can still shoot the basketball, and he knows his shot, he knows his spots. So I think they know that, he knows that, and I think that's what they're trying to set him up to do.
I don't think anybody knows it.
No.
Well, I think Carmelo is trying to hope he still has it, and then Portland is trying something out.
No. Carmelo still thinks he has it.
Yeah, but what about Portland? Because Portland is up in the air, because that's why you see a non-guaranteed contract.
He's there because they had nowhere else to go.
Right.
Is hurt. Collins is hurt. Gasol is hurt. Their big men, their front line
is hurt.
That's why they're not guaranteeing his money.
Okay.
He's there because they had nowhere else to go.
Now,
what he needs to do is take advantage of the opportunity. I only expect 12 and 4 rebounds out of Carmelo Anthony. Those are my expectations.
So basically what he did last night, that's exactly what they should expect out of him. Give him about 10 to 12 points, about 4 or 5 rebounds.
Better percentage shooting, though.
But I was about to say better percentage as far as a shot, field goal shooting. Even though it was good from 3, he was 2 for 3,
right,
from behind the line.
No assists.
But yeah, no assist.
Well, that's not.
Yeah, you're not getting that from him.
Knowing him, they didn't bring me here to pass. They brought me
12
here to
and shoot. 4. Those are my expectations.
You said the last thing that goes a shot, the first thing goes them legs, and you saw that on that dunker tip. Boy, he got like 2 inches off the ground.
I forgot about that. But you know what? It's going to take him, I think, to be fair to Melo, you have to give him 3 weeks starting off the bench, a combination of two, to get back into NBA shape.
Right.
Because outside of being outside of the game for almost a year, he's 35 years old. And he's 35 years old with a lot of miles, a lot of playoffs, a lot of Olympic games, a lot of traveling. So he's an older 35, more so than your average 35-year-old that would be there. So I think, to be fair, you have to give him 3 weeks to just get back into NBA shape and the NBA grind.
My biggest prayer right now is for Carmelo Anthony not to get released, cut. He cannot do that. His legacy cannot afford for him to have a short stay and he doesn't last 3 weeks or he doesn't last a whole month because the old Carmelo showed up. And you said we got to give him 3 weeks? Yes. But he's got to give himself 3 weeks to make sure you've learned, you turned over a new leaf, you're willing to humble yourself. I want to see how long. Because the worst thing we can have for Carmelo Anthony in the starting lineup to catch fire 2 games and all of a sudden think he has just, turned back the hands of time and he's that guy again and now he's being a disruption. Get a role, figure it out in about a month and just settle into it and please, please stay on the Portland Trail Blazers the rest of the season.
Well, we know that it is possible because if Dwight Howard could make a comeback in L.A. like this, then I'm sure that Melo could do it too. Same conversation, guy who wasn't really accepting of his roles or wasn't playing the right part. Now later in the career, after going to a whole bunch of places, now you've been humbled to say, okay, I could be a role player.
However, I will say this. What Dwight Howard can do, he can do what he can do now better than Carmelo can do what they need him to do now. The thing that
that's because you can't teach tall.
No, like, forget that. Dwight Howard's calling card has always been defense. That's why he won 3. Thing is, the defense never left. He just needed to get his mind right. He can still block shots. He can still rebound. And he's always been a gazelle and can run the floor. We've never questioned that. We questioned his mindset. We questioned why
the kid
Dwight –
games he played.
Right. We questioned why Dwight thinks he's something he's not. A la shooting threes when we see footage on social media. That ain't him. You ain't taking that in the game, bro. But blocking shots – altering shots, rebounding, running the floor, putbacks. Oh, he the king of that.
Dwight Howard didn't have to transform his game.
No. He's just not the guy anymore. That's 2011.
But that's why I think that Carmelo should be okay because, I mean, all the clips you see from him in the home gyms and stuff is spot up shots and stuff. So he is working on being able to just shoot and not have to necessarily be a ball handler with it. Just
that's true. But he's got to transition to the game, though.
Once again, I think it comes down to his mentality.
And hopefully. That's why I loved Carmelo coming back so much with the thought process of him transforming.
You're a redemption story type of guy. Well, you really do like the
forgiveness.
Yeah, but I want the redemption to be that he's transformed his game a little bit. I don't want him to stand pat at the Carmelo Anthony we saw before.
Right.
That guy should have been gone.
No, you want to see him be humbled but still get that gratification that he's
and not being the stat by it in the stat sheet with no assists.
Right.
I mean, I don't want that. That's the old Carmelo, man. Because again, we allowed that to happen. Why? Because he was a prolific scorer.
Right. Correct.
But now he's not. We got to have something.
No, but they're bringing him in to add a little bit more scoring. It bringing him in to add him in on the offensive end so they can have another, like you said, respectable body who can still knock down shots.
I'm telling you, and there will be a playoff game or two playoff games where Melo would go and go off for like 22 points or something, and you'll be like, oh, okay, it really justifies it because of all the experience. And, yeah, he's going to have those games for him. I think so.
I just want him to be on the roster long enough to go back to New York, into the Garden, and get an ovation that he deserves. That's right. What I want.
He's going to take 30 shots in the guard.
Yeah, he's going to try to show out that game, and I don't know what Terry Stotts is going to talk to him or try to restrict his minutes to. I don't think it's going to matter. Melo's going to try to go off at the Garden. Right. But what I want is for him to be on the roster for that game to get a lifetime worth of applause for what he did for New York City going home.
Is this the end game is what I would ask? Is he just trying to ride out in the sunset this year, or is he trying to play for a multi-year contract?
I don't see why he would at this point try to play for a multi-year contract. Like you said, he's 35 going on 36 as it is. I mean, the wear and tear of the game has got to take a toll on you, your family, and all of that. So at this point, you just want to be able to go out and not it be how it was 10 games with Houston and then you're cut from a roster.
That's embarrassing.
You just don't want that to be the ending narrative. But this should be the swan song. This should be farewell. Yeah, like get the standing ovation in the Garden, standing ovation in Denver for him. You know, let everybody say we love you, Melo, and then retire gracefully.
And we'll end on that note. Positivity with Melo. Going out like a hero. We'll get to some other things, especially the Hawks, because they have an interesting next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that next time out. LeBron James, what he's doing and what the Lakers are doing, we'll talk about that next time out. And we'll talk about some of the young superstars and some of the young rookies that are showing out. They have really done the NBA, I think, a really good service by bringing a new fresh talent and execution into their respective cities and teams early. So we'll get to that next time. That'll do it for the Drop Step Podcast. Again, we want to say thanks to Spotify. We want to say thanks to Shaq Fu Radio. for the B-Dog, for Houston, for the College Football Hall of Famer, and the Super Bowl champion, Joe Hamilton. I'm Home Team. We'll see you next time here on the Drop Step Podcast.
Peace.
Already. Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports Set. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.